Let's think about the graduating class that didn't. The graduating class that didn't. I hope that that doesn't include any. But the whole graduating class that didn't. The whole graduating class failed. Can you imagine that situation? They had worked hard to get into school. They had been involved in agriculture and animal husbandry and engineering and brick making and all kinds of things. But eventually they got admitted. They went on what we might call a two-year travel and learn program. They lived in mobile homes. They ate cafeteria style. They had two faculty members, Moses and Aaron. I guess one was the dean. He could be a dean because he had looked after sheep for 40 years. They had regular chapel services. They had several good courses, theology courses, in the Trinity, man, sin, and salvation, eschatology, worship, even hygiene, but no course in ecclesiology. They had a student... I can tell whether you've taken it or not. They had a student handbook of rules that was pretty stiff, as a matter of fact, pretty extensive. They were taught by visual aids, by lectures, by role-playing, various ways. They had a textbook that was written just in time for the course. They had some midterm tests at Marah and Rephaim. And they complained. They complained about the faculty. They complained to the faculty. They complained about the textbook. They complained about the curriculum. They complained about the requirements. They complained about the lifestyle standards. And they complained about the food. Mr. Level wasn't there in those days. And they came up to commencement. And they had their commencement that year at Kadesh Barnea. And there were two commencement speakers. One commencement speaker said, "Go forward. The land is good and God is great." The other commencement speaker said, "Go back. The problems are great and God is weak." And the issue, the difference, was this whole matter of one English five-letter word, and that is faith. They didn't believe God. There's no way that we can overemphasize the priority, the basics of faith. We know we're saved by faith. We hear about walking by faith. We say that we finance this institution by prayer and faith. And we use the word faith so almost so glibly. But sometimes that faith sort of evaporates into some kind of a passive thing like, inshallah, if God wills, it's going to happen sort of thing. Well, why should I pray? Why should I trust him? He's kind of there sort of thing. And I just go on with my life and I make my own agenda and I go on and do my own things and plan how I'm going to structure them and do them and accomplish them without really believing God. You see, faith isn't faith in faith. Faith has to have an object. And the object has to be a person. Oh, you can believe in things. You can believe the car will get you there. You can believe that a plane is going to take off and land appropriately and so on. But the key thing here is to believe in a person. We've all had our faith shaken in people. But we're talking about believing in God, who is always the same, to really believe God. I'm convinced that if we really believe that God is the God who he says he is, that the Bible reveals, that it would transform our lives, transform our values, transform our interpersonal relationships, transform everything about us if we really believe that God is who he is and that Jesus Christ really is, not was, is who he is. Think about it. Do we really believe him? Or do we kind of believe in him or believe about him? But listen, he's awesome. And one thing they learned in the wilderness, that was an awesome God. That was an awesome God. And when they murmured and mumbled and griped against, the food wasn't the big issue. The big issue was whether or not they believed God and whether they trusted him. And it was the authority issue, his authority that he had given to Moses. And when God says they're not going against you, Moses, they're going against me. And when that happened, what did he do? He burned up thousands of them in the back roads, we might say. Watch it. Supposing that God did that, supposing that somehow just those who weren't really walking with God, those who were doing the things on campus that they know they shouldn't be doing, but they think that nobody's watching them. We're listening to and watching things and reading things and talking about things that they know are contrary to this word. Supposing that the fire came down, Hebrews 12:29 says, our God's a consuming fire, and it's only by his grace that we're not burned up. I'm sorry to say it, but I think it's possible that there's some in this room today would be cinders if it were back in those days. He's an awesome God. Not because he doesn't love us, but because he loves us too much to leave us like we are. He loves us too much to let us get away with that which will take us into eternal destruction. He loves us too much to let us waste our lives living for ourselves. The word of God says, without faith it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it is impossible to please him. What else is there in life but pleasing him? If we don't please him, who do we please? And when we get through with life and we face him, then what do we tell him? Who do we please? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without believing him, it's impossible to please him. Four times in the scripture we read, the just shall live by faith. Shall live by faith. Not by bread alone, but live by faith. It's not just a passive thing. It's not just sort of a hoping things will happen. It's an active, trust, confidence, active, aggressive faith in God. And God is the object of faith. Jesus said, when Peter was moaning about the fact that Jesus was going to leave him, Jesus said to him, he says, you've been believing in God all this time, and you couldn't see God, and the time is coming when you won't see me. Go on believing in me. The disciples had a basic problem of faith, and we can learn from them. And I believe this is why we have this record in the scripture. In Matthew 6:20, there Jesus reminds them that they don't have to worry about what they're going to put on or what they're going to eat. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Believe me, believe that I can look after you. They're out in the boat in the storm, and they think they're going to sink. And Peter says, or somebody says, Master, don't you care that we perish? And it says he marveled at their faith. He says, oh, ye of little faith. The thing that upset Jesus most about his disciples was not their lack of theological knowledge, not their lack of sophistication, not that they maybe said the wrong thing at the wrong time, and not that they didn't understand a lot of eschatology and didn't follow it and so on, but the thing that upset him most of all is when they didn't believe him. And the thing that gave him the greatest joy, I was going to say that made him the happiest, and it probably did, made him smile, made him exult, was when they would believe him, when they believe him. In fact, we find that word marveled in the Gospels, referring to both belief and unbelief. He marveled at the unbelief of the people, and he marveled at the belief of those who did believe on him, even the Gentiles. And then you remember when they're out in the boat again, they said, oh, we don't have any bread. And he says, haven't you learned from the loaves to believe on me? Christ's greatest delight was in having his disciples believe him, and the same is true for you and me. Same is true for us today. Mark 2, it says that seeing their faith. This is, remember, when the four brought the man on a pallet, on a stretcher, and carried him up onto the roof, and broke open the roof, and let him down through the roof. And he, seeing their faith, not the man's faith only, but their faith, they believed that Jesus could do something. So at great personal inconvenience, they went out and they got this person. And I think in terms of evangelism, we're going to see that Jesus Christ will see our faith that he can save people, and therefore we will reach out to people, we will get close to them, we will bring them to Jesus. Why? Because they believe that Jesus could do something for them. It would have been very embarrassing if those four men had just brought this man to Jesus and he hadn't done anything for him. Actually, what he did was to heal his heart first, and then he healed his body, and that was incidental afterwards. But the point is that they believed Jesus could do something. If we really believe that Jesus can do something for people, if we really believe that about him, it's going to affect our whole impetus and motivation for evangelism as well. Christ's concern, he said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Not church buildings, not doctrinal statements, not large congregations, not institutions, even seminaries or Bible colleges. but will he find faith on the earth? Will he find people who are believing him, really trusting him? Special commendation for those of us who've never seen Jesus. Jesus said it to Thomas on that week after the resurrection, and he said it again through Peter. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, "Blessed are those who, having not seen, believed that he really rose from the dead, that he had those wounds in his hands," and so on. Faith is going to be tested. This happened to Peter. You remember that Jesus said that Satan has asked for you, and he wants to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your what? That your faith fail not, that you go on believing. Go on believing me. Even when you see me on the cross, go on believing that your faith fail not. And certainly I think this could be said of us as we go out, whether it's as graduates or as people coming back to get ready to graduate someday, that our faith is going to be tested. And in a sense, Jesus could say, "I pray for you that your faith fail not." A lot could be said about faith. We're saved by faith, saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. How do we get to be saved? How do we get into God's family? By believing who he is and what he's done for us, and having full confidence in that, and believing what he says about us. The just shall live by faith. And so how do we go on and live the Christian life? How do we get to be like Jesus Christ? By taking him seriously, believing him, that he really is there, that all of this does matter, that the Word of God, it really does matter. And it's not just something to be learned in a Bible class or fill in the blanks on a final exam. This is the Word of God. And I'll tell you that what I'm afraid of myself, and I may be afraid for some of us, is that the one question that Jesus could ask us at the judgment seat of Christ is, how much did you really believe me? How much did you really believe me? Because if we really believe what Jesus Christ has said and what the Word of God says about himself, about ourselves, about the power of the Holy Spirit, about the access we have to God through prayer, and the needs of the world around us, and the fact that he's coming, and the fact that we're going to live with him forever, we really believe these things. I don't frankly see how some of us can live the kind of lives that we live, saying the things we do, thinking the things we do, that we think, planning, just living like we do. The graduating class that didn't. 38 years later, there was a graduating class that did. Do you know there are only two from that first graduating class that didn't, that came in, Joshua and Caleb, to that graduating class that did. As a matter of fact, the number in the class was about the same. They were the next generation. Their moms and dads had died and had sandy graves. And now the kids were coming along. And they come up to the land again. Well, what's happened in 38 years? Have all the giants died? No, they're still there. No wall cities anymore? No, the walls are still there. People any different? People aren't any different. Problems, dangers, they're all the same. But what's the difference? The difference is in faith, that they believe God. And whereas their parents wouldn't believe God enough to simply walk from point A to point B and see God win the battles, this next generation, this graduating class that did, believes them enough to go across a river. The water's held up, and they weren't afraid of drowning. They get to the other side, and they look up, and from just a stone's throw away, practically, they look up on the walls of this great city of Jericho, and they believe that God's going to do something. And God doesn't tell them to fight against it. He says, just walk around it. And that seemed kind of stupid, but they believed God. Just walk around it. And they walked around it. You know the story, 7 days, once, went around it. And the guys up on the walls are probably wondering what's going on. These nuts walking around the wall. Maybe it's PE points or something. They're going around this wall. They believed God. The issue was they believed God enough to walk around a walled city, a hostile city, every day for a week. And then the trumpets, the wall came down. The big difference was the faith factor. The graduating class that didn't at Kadesh Barnea wasted their lives. They died in the wilderness. the graduating class in Jericho went in and lived worthwhile lives, and they conquered the whole land in fulfillment. The graduating class that didn't. 38 years later, there was a graduating class that did. Do you know there are only two from that first graduating class that didn't, that came in, Joshua and Caleb, to that graduating class that did. As a matter of fact, the number in the class was about the same. They were the next generation. Their moms and dads had died and had sandy graves. And now the kids were coming along. And they come up to the land again. Well, what's happened in 38 years? Have all the giants died? No, they're still there. No walled cities anymore? No, the walls are still there. People any different? People aren't any different. Problems, dangers, they're all the same. But what's the difference? The difference is in faith, that they believe God. And whereas their parents wouldn't believe God enough to simply walk from point A to point B and see God win the battles, this next generation, this graduating class that did, believes them enough to go across a river. The waters held up, and they weren't afraid of drowning. They get to the other side, and they look up, and from just a stone's throw away, practically, they look up on the walls of this great city of Jericho, and they believe that God's going to do something. And God doesn't tell them to fight against it. He says, just walk around it. And that seemed kind of stupid, but they believe God. Just walk around it. And they walked around it. You know the story, 7 days, once, went around it. And the guys up on the walls are probably wondering what's going on. And he's nuts walking around the wall. Maybe it's PE points or something. They're going around this wall. They believe God. The issue was they believed God enough to walk around a walled city, a hostile city, every day for a week. And then the trumpets, the wall came down. The big difference was the faith factor. The graduating class that didn't at Kadesh Barnea wasted their lives. They died in the wilderness. The graduating class in Jericho went in and lived worthwhile lives, and they conquered the whole land in fulfillment. Many of you, in fact, I think the number is about 335 this year for grad and for the Bible college and the seminary, will in a few weeks walk across this platform. And your presence on this platform and taking that sheepskin, sorry Moses, taking that sheepskin off the end of the platform here, that won't determine, listen to me, that won't determine whether you really graduate or not. Any more than taking the course 2 years in the wilderness under Moses' lectureship with God's textbook and God's food plan, a 38-year food plan, that determined whether or not they went into the land and graduated. The difference is whether or not you're going to believe him as you go out into this world of woes and worries and all kinds of problems. And I'll tell you what, that if this world can see every graduating person from this institution go out really believing God and believing everything about him and acting in accordance with that faith from day to day, there are enough people graduating here to turn a whole segment of the world upside down. And I believe God wants to do it. Jesus said, stop letting your heart be agitated. Ye believe in God, believe also in me.